Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So after John was baptized by John in the Jordan, and after Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he travels to Galilee. He goes to Nazareth. And while he's there, he gets up in front of the synagogue, in front of everyone, and he reads this passage from Scripture. Jesus chose a Scripture specifically from the prophet Isaiah. He didn't just, you know, kind of do one of these. There's a reason he wrote this, or that he read this. See, he chose a part of Scripture that reveals his mission in the world. Jesus announces the arrival of the good news, which is himself as God made flesh, now inhabiting the earth. And he announces that because things are already different. Jesus coming to earth is good news for the poor, the captive, and the blind. But who are these people? Who are the poor and the captive and the blind? I mean, and are we today included in any of these categories? So many interpreters have defined the poor in two very, very narrow senses. The first narrow sense is either the economically poor or the spiritually poor. But an ancient Near East understanding of poverty goes beyond more than just not having enough money or not having enough faith. Poverty in the first century was not the kind of subjective poverty that we have today, where the poor in the United States are different than the poor of Central America. Nor was the poverty just spiritual poverty, simply meaning people who lacked knowledge in God. See, the poor during Jesus' time are an expansive group of people who for socioeconomic reasons, they're pushed to the very edges of Jewish society. So this includes the economically poor, the spiritually poor, and it also includes those who are determined by the religious law to be unclean because of their origin of birth or their health or their mental status, even their job, or any number of factors. See, the poor in Jesus' time are the sick, the lame, the non-Jew. All are outcast and seen as equally poor. And today, we would be included in the poor, all of us in this room, because as Gentiles, we are separated from Israel as unclean. We could not enter into the temple where the people of God entered. We could not worship like them. I mean, we had ham last night for dinner, right? Yeah, that excludes us. So creating boundaries to separate and divide and pit people against each other, it continues today. And, you know, this sin is going to continue through this whole political season as well. See, we are the creators of dividing lines, and we are victims as lines of those lines as well. On a side note here, Anytime we build up walls that divide us from each other, not only are we doing damage to other people, but we're actually damaging our own souls in that too. Because we're called to be in unity with our brothers and sisters. And when we don't do that, we hurt ourselves. So by directing his good news to all of the poor, the economic, the social, the spiritual, and the communal, Jesus is showing that he refuses to recognize any of the boundaries that we decide to erect. The good news to the poor in Jesus is this action of God's grace, mercy, and salvation, and love, and it's given to all people, not just those within our own boundaries, with our own walls. See, God coming to earth is a showing that God doesn't play by our games. God doesn't respect our rules of dividing people. Instead, Jesus as God lavishes on all of us love. So Jesus also comes for those who are in captivity. Scripture tells us, and we confess, that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. That's John 6. And Jesus comes to tell us that with his arrival, there is freedom from sin. We can be free from it. But the problem is we don't really believe it. So in 1973, in Stockholm, Sweden, four hostages were taken in a botched bank robbery. Anybody here remember this? Yep. Well, 6 days later, at the end of their captivity, they actively resisted being rescued. They refused to testify against their captors, the bank robbers. In fact, they raised money for their legal defense. And then one of the female hostages ended up later marrying one of her captors. This is now referred to as Stockholm Syndrome. When hostages identify with and protect their captors. How many times do we come on a Sunday and during the confession confess the same sin over and over and over again? I do. So we run back to the same sins, partly because we identify with them and they're comfortable to us. Friends, we have Stockholm Syndrome. And sin is our captor. We actively resist trying to be saved. We refuse to testify against the sin and its hold over us. And in fact, we defend sin, never realizing the evil that it is actually doing to us. Well, Jesus comes not only to free us from sin, but he also comes to free us over and over again of a will that is set on making sin and unbelief our captors again. Jesus frees us from the guilt of being okay with captivity to sin and the shame that comes with being held hostage to it and liking it. Jesus comes ignoring the boundaries that define the poor. He comes to set us free from sin, and he comes to open our eyes to God's character. We're often blind to the way that God works in the world, and it's Jesus who shows us who God is because he is God made flesh. Jesus shows us that we are loved just as we are, and that there's nothing we can do to earn God's favor. See, in any Christian theology that says that you have to get clean first or stop this or that or do something more or be good or better before God does something, before God loves us, that's a theology that doesn't come from Jesus. That's what we Lutherans call works righteousness. See, this view of God actually reveals our blindness of heart. We cannot see and we do not understand, so we think that we have to move first in order to earn God. And Jesus comes to help us see again. I say it a lot because if we really believed it, our lives would be completely changed. God loves you just as you are right now. With your Stockholm syndrome, with your sin, with those the way that you were mean to your grandparents, right now, God loves you. You don't have to earn it. There's freedom there. Scripture tells us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we clean ourselves up as if we could. See, sin divides us. Sin tries to repeatedly hold us hostage again, and it blinds us. And Jesus has come to unite, to free us from sin, and to make us see. And see, while he's working on us, on our division, on our sin, on our holiness, while Jesus is working on us, he tells us to invite other people as well. Invite those in your circles who you know are blind too, who are captive to sin as well, who need healing just like you do. See, Jesus read the Isaiah scroll and finds the portion of Scripture that tells us exactly why he's here. He's come to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, and sight to the blind. He's come for you, and he's come for me. He reads the scroll so we can know what he promises to do, not only in the first century, but in our lives today. Friends, may Jesus come for you, the poor, the captive, the blind, giving you his riches, his freedom, and his sight for the world. Amen.